This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
So I doubt that that was the first time the two teams have ever popped champagne corks simultaneously, but it's got to be pretty rare. With what happened with the Braves and the Mets yesterday. Welcome back. We're live at Baja Rick's Cantina. Ben and Woods, we're broadcasting live all day until our Sammy Levitt pregame EcoWater SoCal pregame show at 4:38 today. Game one of the National League Wild Card Series between the Padres and Braves at 5:38 today on 97.3 The Fan. So like last in 2022, the Padres, remember, they clinched with a loss because someone else lost elsewhere. They didn't have to win. They still celebrated. So it's possible that that's happened in the regular season where one team won, clinched, the other team, because someone else lost, also clinched, and they both celebrated at the same time. But you had a really odd sequence of events at Truist Park yesterday that led both the Mets and Braves to be popping champagne the day after the regular season ended for everybody else and the day before the playoff starts for both teams in two completely different cities.
Pretty nuts, man. Pretty nuts. And of course, game one was one of the best baseball games you'll ever see. I mean, it really was. If you really didn't have a rooting interest, and I think for Padre fans, our rooting interest was great. Let's get some bullpens going. Let's get some guys burning, you know.
I said yesterday, the best case scenario would be like a late comeback by the Mets.
Yeah.
In which the Braves have been trying to hold on to the lead with all their pitchers, then they give it up, and then they have to play another entire game in which they have to win with their season on the line. It's exactly how it played out.
Yeah, and the Braves were really on cruise control until the, seventh inning is when it kind of all unraveled, and it was five hits in a row, and next thing you know, you look up and you're like, good Lord, and then it changes hands again, then it changes hands again, then it changes hands again, and, you know, Francisco Lindor, obviously with the big knock. Edwin Diaz, I thought, again, you're talking about a guy that is probably not at his best right now, but refused to come out of the game. I thought that was a pretty cool.
He also refused to cover first base.
He did refuse.
When Pete Alonso made a great play.
He also refuses to look at any base runner that's on, ever. Like, so I think maybe if you get a jump, you can get it. They don't even bother throwing down. I mean, these guys are just swiping bags off them left and right. But it was a fantastic baseball game. And again, fantastic for the Padres in that they kind of did what you needed them to do. Let me ask you this, though, Benny. I was surprised that Eduardo Perez even made note of it. The Brandon Nimmo last play of the game. Number one, hits the ground ball. Brandon Nimmo is literally Lord Eyewash. Since Pete Rose passed away yesterday, Brandon Nimmo takes on the mantra of Charlie Hustle. And he's a big, if he walks, he sprints down to first base. So, like, that's his thing. He barely ran down to first. He was also safe. Nobody challenged it. They just wanted the game over to move on. Any thoughts on that for you? If you're Tori Lavullo and you're watching this, are you? Is it sticking your craw a little bit? Because I'll tell you, for me, if I'm Lavullo, I'm like, it's not Brandon Nimmo's fault. It's our fault. We had plenty of chances to go out and win this wild card. We had a huge lead in it, and we spoiled it.
It's unfortunate if you were a Diamondbacks fan and you were relying on the Mets to win that second game with your season on the line. The series of events that put them in that situation, they obviously bear responsibility. They lost, what, five of their last six going into the series finale against the Padres. They take care of business in any of those games.
Yep.
They don't have to worry about it. They're in the playoffs today.
Brandon Nimmo's an easy target if you're a Diamondbacks fan today. Somebody to point the finger at, but
at the same time, I think if they're going to be mad at someone, it's probably Major League Baseball, because had they played those games at a neutral site before a doubleheader at the end of the season, both the Mets and Braves would have had to play hard, not knowing how important those games were. And someone might have won both of those games, which would have left one of those teams one win short of the Diamondbacks in the playoffs. Yeah. The circumstances of waiting until the end actually gave the Braves and Mets, while a disadvantage for the playoffs today, an advantage for knowing exactly what they needed in that last game of the season. One win each, and they could play it accordingly, and they did.
They did.
I don't think there was like any conversation that needed to go on, but it was played accordingly. And, you know, the second game, obviously, the Mets did what was smart for the Mets, and that was get as many guys rest as possible, not going to use any of our arms that we're going to need tomorrow in Milwaukee. And, yeah, we'll try to win under those circumstances, but we're not going the extra mile to try to help the Diamondbacks get into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And people are making the point, you know, this happened. We kind of lived through this a little bit last year. There were plenty of chances for the Padres, and they came on late and made a late, meaningless run that infuriated me to no end, and probably most of you guys as well. Such a refreshing turnaround for our team here in San Diego this year, taking care of business, not being in that position to where, you know, we talked about it last week, of not having, like, yeah, we all scoreboard watched and we wanted some things to break in our favor, but to just have it under control by the business that you handled was just such a great, great feeling. This next week, or however long it lasts, is going to be terrible for everybody. It's the worst, but it's also the best. And the fact that you got in and you didn't have to worry and pull your hair out for the last 2 weeks is pretty great.
We'll talk about next year, hopefully in about a month when the postseason is over.
Yeah.
But now next year, go ahead and don't put yourself in the position where you have to have the best record in baseball in the second half of the season in order to have a comfortable final 3 days.
Yeah.
Go ahead and win, you know, 10, 15 games above 500 before the All-Star break and make it, you know, make it a chance to really win the division at the end and not need any help from the Dodgers. I mean, that's a difference. You know, 50 and 50 at the day after the All-Star break put the Padres having to play a really good baseball. And they did. And they did. They took care of what they needed to.
I'm trying to remember. I certainly had a different feel at this team 50 and 50 than I did last year. I did. I had hovering around 500 a couple games under last year. The 50 and 50 this year, while I wasn't super fired up, I still had a lot of belief. And you could see the tides changing a little bit. And Mike Schilt, now remember, first year skipper with the team, you know, he's putting his mark on it. He's preaching the same message over and over. It finally kicks in, and the guys go on this ridiculous run. But you did kind of have that feeling that they were going to, they weren't playing bad baseball. They weren't. He had some early errors and things like that, but you just felt different. You felt like this team's got to run in them, certainly, and the schedule lined up for them. But then they beat some really, really tough teams in that run. They had that long stretch of games as well. Every challenge we presented to them on the roundtable, brought to you by Roundtable Pizza every Thursday, Ben, every challenge we presented to them, they just crushed. Oh, they need to go. They better go 5-5 on this road trip. No, they went 7-3 or 8-2 and really just blew expectations out of the water.
Well, one of the biggest differences in the first half of the season was, you know, no depth in starting pitching.
Right.
You know, Adam Mazur starts, Randy Vasquez, you know, Matt Waldron did an amazing job in being the guy that they needed in that first half of the season. But once the trade deadline especially happened and Martin Perez came in and Yu Darvish and Joe Musgrove were back, you felt the Padres every single game really were in a good position to win. You couldn't say that in the first half of the season. You just didn't feel that way a couple of the days of the week, that it was might be tough for the Padres to win. That's an easy way to play 500 baseball for 3-4 months.
Massive credit goes, of course, to A.J. Preller for identifying fairly early in the season that we need help. You know, this team with Woosuk Go and Eniel De Los Santos, and think about some of the guys we ran out there.
I completely forgot about Woosuk Go.
And Stephen Kolek and guys like that. I mean, I can remember just having long discussions about the bullpen and how it's just not going to get the job done. And I think A.J. identified that really early and said, all right, we're going to have to make some moves. And boy, did he ever make some moves. And adding those bench pieces, Solano just sitting there waiting, you know, and David Peralta going out and getting those dudes. It was everything he touched this year was the right move. So,
you know,
we'll see if it pays off.
I remember a few weeks ago, Jesse Agler, who will join us on the phone at 8:35 this morning. A couple weeks ago, he was talking about Peralta and Solano and how he compared it to last year. You got the veterans, the cheap deals, the Matt Carpenter.
Carpenter was not cheap by any stretch.
He was not. Nelson Cruz.
Nelson Cruz was cheap.
And Jesse goes, I would still go back and make those moves.
Right.
I felt like that was the right way to go. It just didn't work out.
We
and for
did.
Whatever reason, for whatever magical reason, you go out and do the same idea with Peralta and a Solano on your bench, the older veteran guys, and they have been money for you this year.
I mean, we really did suffer through some really tough bullpen looks and some out of major starts and things like that. And again, we talked a lot this season about big boy moves. And the Padres made a ton of them. I mean, usually where they're holding the guy's hand for a while and saying, no, figure it out. I think they kind of realized, no, they need to. There's no more time to figure it out. If you're not getting the job done, you're not going to be here. And that happened a bunch this year.
Remember last year when Bob Melvin kind of gave up on Matt Carpenter and left him
for dead
for like a month without getting into a game?
God.
And I don't think, Padres fans, I don't think we had a big problem with it. He was so unproductive. But you could have seen the same thing happening with David Peralta. When they signed him, he really wasn't performing, sitting in the hundreds, wasn't really adding much to the team.
Yeah.
And it was, I saw the tweet starting to come in, all right, it's time to give up on David Peralta. But they didn't. They kept sticking with him a little bit longer. And David Peralta started heating up. And when Fernando Tatis Jr. was out, he ended up being basically the everyday right fielder for a good two-month chunk of the season and keeping the Padres really important. That bottom of the lineup, keeping it going. He had some big hits, some big home runs. And they just, they stayed and had faith with him. I'm not saying that would have happened last year with Matt Carpenter. I almost think for certain it would not have happened. But there has to be some... There has to be some things that just the tumblers that lock into place
no
in
doubt.
A season like this that you can't really control.
It's got to break your way.
And it broke the Padres' way this year.
I mean, we had a lot of Bryce Johnson starts out there in right field. We had it was lean, man. It was lean this year.
Mason McCoy,
I mean, again, all great dudes and all contributed in their own way. But when you look at what it shook out to at the end of the year, oh, my God. You look at it, you go, you got to be kidding me. I still, like, that run – after my birthday, we lost to the Guardians 7-0, and that run after that, I still don't. It was like a blur. It was like they won 18 out of 21 games or something insane, and I'm going, did we just roll off?
You felt like you were running on fumes, getting into the All-Star break, and like, all right, reset, here we go, and then that Friday night loss, you're like, oh no. And I remember all week long, summer break, you know, no baseball to talk about. We're just saying, you kind of feel like this is make or break for the season here, and then you drop that Friday night game, you're like, oh my God, and then they just go red hot.
I was making copious amounts of love with my wife that weekend, so I really didn't care, but when I got back to the real world, Ben, I was very surprised at the run that team went on against some really good teams.
Well, it sounds like Hannah was taking on Woods at some point. We're actually not going to play Take on Woods today, given that we've got trains going by and we're on remote, but we still have a pair of tickets to give away.
It's 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, there you go.
Cake coming up this Saturday at the very first concert ever at the new Front Wave Arena up in
Oceanside.
Okay, settle down.
Settle down, guy.
Adam's going to answer some phones in the studio. If you want to call in and win, 833-288-0973. I actually have a trivia question. I've never done this before. Adam knows the answer, though.
You've never done trivia?
Not on our show. Not on our show.
Yes.
We have done trivia? When was the last time we did trivia?
I promise you.
All right. Maybe we've done it before.
Anytime we give away something without doing our typical game, you do trivia.
All right. This is a tough one. So the Padres play in the best of three series against the Atlanta Braves. These are fairly new. Only in 2020 did they start playing best of three series. Only three of these have ever gone the full distance. Game three. Padres have won two of them against the Mets and the Cardinals back in 2020. Who's the only other team to ever win a game three of a best of three playoff series in Major League Baseball? If you know the answer, call in 833-288-0973. Adam will take your call. You can win those tickets to Cake this Saturday at Front Wave Arena up in Oceanside. And everybody here, we haven't forgotten about you. We've got some tickets to Oktoberfest and La Mesa giveaway.
Buddy.
We got Ben and Woods merch if you stop by. So please, come on down and join us at Baja Ricks Cantina as we are broadcasting live all day. Ben and Woods back after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, I know you guys are you're probably thinking it, so I'll just go ahead and say it. When are we getting our big Baja bucket for two here at Baja Ricks?
Now we're talking.
Our four seasoned lobster tails, Ooh. Our 12 Baja-style shrimp, our skirt steak, our grilled chicken, our corn on the cob, our ranchero beans, our citrus lime rice, our warm flour tortillas, our honey chili butter, two Caesar salads, and fried ice cream.
I was told probably between 8 and 8:30. So you're going to have to wait for another hour.
I will let my my appetite
grow. Fester.
I'm just dibs on one of the lobster tails.
Yeah, we know.
Two of them. We'll see.
We were all here last year. We remember
this opening, year.
This year, opening day. I remember you sucking down lobster like there was no tomorrow. We are live at Baja Ricks this morning, and we've already had a nice little crowd of Tier 1s. Make some noise out there. Let everybody know we're not lying. We got actually have people here. Asses in the seats for Ben and Woods. The entire station's going to be here all day. Annie and Elston will be next, and then Gwen and Chris will be here. Will Tony come by? I wonder. Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't get
No promises. He's got a game to call at 5:38.
I wonder if that was the Braves that just rolled by.
I would think that they're hopefully probably right above us in one of the rooms. Well, probably in many of the rooms at the Omni. That's where most visiting teams stay.
Oh, they stay right there.
Yeah, right here.
So we should go mess with them somehow.
Yeah, they can come out on their balcony and listen to us talking about them in the morning as they wake up. They're probably asleep, though. As you said, they didn't get in until 11:30. Their flight landed. I mean, check in, 12:30.
Hey, Whit Merrifield.
Quick bite to eat or something.
F you. Let's get after them. What would they be doing in Boston? Would they be knocking on their doors right now? You know what I mean? Go, Ben, pull the fire alarm.
No, I'm not going to go pull the fire alarm.
Go pull the fire alarm. I thought you were a Padres fan. I guess you're not. Okay, that's fine. But that's really where they are, huh?
Yeah.
Right there. Well, they can come down, get a little lobster, and we'll do some interviews with those guys.
Absolutely.
If we see them walking to get their coffee or something, let's bring them on.
We're not. Usually this is our Don't Do This segment. We're on remote, so we're just kind of playoff focused. I did want to bring up some of the other news of the day in Major League Baseball. Three big headlines. We'll start with the St. Louis Cardinals, who announced that John Mozeliak, the president of baseball operations, will be stepping down after next season and will be replaced by Keim Bloom, formerly with the Red Sox.
So
he's got one more year. In San Francisco.
So wait, Mozeliak's got one more year.
One more year.
And then
Bloom takes over.
So they're doing like the soft landing, the transition and all that. Okay.
But, there was some big words about how the Cardinals need to get back to, being the Cardinals and drafting and developing, and it's kind of gone off the rails the last few seasons. San Francisco Giants fired their president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi, yesterday. Obviously he came in and was supposed to turn around the fortunes of that franchise, and for a second he did. They won 107 games, and it was like, oh, the Zaidi way is going to take over Major League Baseball, and then last couple of years have been disappointing, and it has not worked out for San Francisco the way they anticipated.
Yeah, but I think the bigger story there is who took over for Farhan Zaidi, and that was Buster Posey. And you may remember a couple of weeks ago, there was a bit of a tiff between a couple of the writers in San Francisco, and I believe it was our buddy Andrew Baggerly, and it was one other guy, and maybe a woman as well. They were all kind of jawing back and forth because the rumor was, when they got the Matt Chapman extension done, Buster was in there, and he finally just goes, Farhan, take a walk. Just go. Let me talk to him player to player. Let me sell him on the greatness of playing in San Francisco, okay? You take a walk, take a breather. I got it. He got the job done, signed Chapman to an extension, and then I guess wheels started turning. And, the other thing is, like, you never know, man. Was Buster behind the scenes saying, like, hey, man, like, I got a better handle on this guy? Somebody made the really funny tweet yesterday. Buster Posey is the only president of baseball ops who is a better hitter than any person on his team. Like, A.J. Preller, my guess, not a great hitter. Probably not a great hitter. Not a better hitter than Fernando or Arise. You know what I mean?
He might have a better jump shot, but yeah.
He could probably beat all of them in basketball, but as far as his hitting goes,
I'm still taking Fernando, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Fernando against Preller, 100%. In like 10 years, though. Let's not do it now. And so Buster Posey is going to be the new president of baseball ops. And I don't know how you feel about that if you're a Giants fan.
I mean, you love Buster Posey.
You love Buster
Posey. So you're excited about, having him be at the top of the franchise. I think you're also concerned
Michael Jordan
about,
must have been a really good owner. Derek Jeter must have been a really good GM and owner,
his
too.
His complete lack of executive experience. I mean, all the things that go into that job, he's going to have to be learning on the fly. Usually the Major League Baseball level is not where you learn things on the fly. I'm sure he can hire people under him and general manager to do a lot of that work and hold his hand a little bit, but there's going to be some hand holding that has to go on even for a good baseball guy like Buster Posey taking over a job like that.
What do you think about do they keep Bob Melvin?
Guess Buster Posey is gonna get to decide on whether he likes Bob Melvin or not as a manager.
I wonder if one Skip Schumacher would be interested in that job.
Why don't you text him, ask him?
Well, he texted me this morning, as a matter of fact, that you mentioned that. He texted me at 7:06. He said, you going to the game? And I said, no, Hannah's coming back from Hawaii, so I've got to pick up kids, clean house, it's weak. He goes, SOB, I'll be there. No beer in the third then, meaning I would have gotten to have a beer with my beloved Skip Schumacher tonight. I said, tomorrow? He said, nope, just going tonight. I said, well, Benny and Paulie will be there. He did not respond.
I find it amazing that someone who just, you know, suffered through a 162-game season and a tough one with the Miami Marlins, and obviously we talked yesterday, you know, Skip had loss in the family and had to come home, that the first thing he wants to do then after the season's over is go to a baseball game.
Nah.
He's a lifer.
Well, and also, he probably got really good seats. They're probably going to take really good care of him. I wonder, I don't know the details. Like, I don't know who invited him. I mean, is he going to be, you know? I mean, he's a free agent now. Are they wooing him to come and do something?
The Padres?
Yeah.
The Braves?
Or the Braves, potentially. But I know, you know, West Coast is kind of where he wants to be. The Giants may have an opening. I don't know. I think you keep Bob Melvin at least one more year. He signed a 3-year deal, I think, with them, but you just never know in the game of baseball, man. So I'm still waiting on confirm from our potential very special guest, but I don't know if it's going to happen. So I'm that's what I'm looking for right now.
All right, well then, let's get to the biggest story that happened in baseball yesterday. Unexpected, the announcement of the passing of Pete Rose at the age of 83. Pete obviously has a very complicated legacy.
You heard a lot
in Major
of
League Baseball.
You heard a lot of people talking about the complicated legacy of Pete Rose. Don't we all have a complicated legacy? Maybe except for you. I don't know that your legacy will be that complicated.
I don't think you should compare. I mean, Pete Rose is legitimately one of the most complicated legacies you're going to have anywhere any sport of all time.
No question. I mean, as a baseball player, who's better than Pete Rose? Who's better? The guy, all he did was hit. All he did was work. All he wanted to do was win. And, you know, as a person, not great. It's not great. And
he really did not help himself, man.
And that documentary that we watched, we talked about it a couple months ago. You're like, all right, I'm going to give this documentary a shot. And we'll see if he's even a little bit contrite. And you just didn't see any contrition at all from Pete Rose. And he definitely is from a foregone era. You love him if he's on your team. You hate playing against him, no question. But, man, when it comes down to being a baseball player, few did it better than that. And certainly nobody got more hits than Pete Rose. But, yeah, man, just the gambling, the underage woman. I mean, it's just gnarly. Like, it's just a gnarly, gnarly legacy.
Just the I mean, he could be charming at times.
Sure. Oh, funny as hell. Man.
I mean, you could see from that documentary just the person that he was.
Yeah.
Like, never really figured out what it meant to be, like, a good person,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
It's weird, though, because I watched him with his kid and listened to his kid talk about him, and his kid revered him, you know? People are imperfect, and Pete Rose was was very imperfect, but his best quote I've ever heard in my life, in regards to the game of baseball, I would walk through hell in a gasoline suit to play baseball. And I went, all right, well, you got me. You got me there. I was a fan of Pete Rose when I was a kid. And watched that documentary. It was tough. It was tough to stomach. But he's departed the mortal coil here at 83 years old. Didn't hear how he passed away. Eddie Perez was talking about it yesterday and kind of choked up talking about it. See you, little dudes. Have fun at school. Was kind of talking about it yesterday, getting choked up because he, you know, obviously knew Pete and played with him. And so, yeah, man, at the end of the day, Pete Rose, he will definitely live in infamy forever. Did they ever let him in?
Well, it'll be a renewed debate of whether they should let him in the Hall of Fame. Already, you know, a lot of people saying
if they just let him in, like, next year, he dies.
I agree with you, Paul. I mean, a lot of people say, well, lifetime ban from baseball. Lifetime is over. You know, you can lift the ban. Craig Calcaterra tweeted, Pete Rose was not given a lifetime suspension. He was placed on the permanently ineligible list, like Joe Jackson. People have been misstating this for over 30 years, but they will really start doing so now. Please don't be one of those people. You know, Joe Jackson's not in the Hall of Fame and likely will never be in the Hall of Fame. And I agree with you, Paul. If you were going to do it, you should have done it already. If you wanted to make that decision, you would have done it while he was living. To do it now is probably an insult to his family. Like,
yeah.
this is when you decide to do it. So
problematic as he was, like, the idea of him going in, like, the year after he dies just feels gross.
Well, at the end of the day, you look at the body of work, and the body of work certainly says Yeah, you're a Hall of Famer, 100% if you're Pete Rose. But just baseball's so funny because they just have one rule. It's just one. It's really just one rule. their main one. If you can play your career and not do this, you're good. If you do this, you're out. And it's very clear. Everybody knew exactly what was going on. And you broke it, man. It's tough.
I know you are a big believer in second chances and forgiveness. And I am as well. Everybody makes mistakes. And if you don't give them an opportunity to correct their mistakes and be better, then what's the point?
Right.
I mean, you have to give people an opportunity to turn their lives around. Problem with Pete is I always think about Red in the Shawshank Redemption. When you go into parole, Pete was essentially on Hall of Fame parole.
Correct.
And he was arguing his case that he should be let out on probation. Yet, when you go into your parole hearing and they ask you, did you feel sorry for what you did? No.
No.
Not at all.
Not a bit.
Not really. And are you going to do it again if we let you out?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. That was basically Pete Rose for most of his life. So why would the person who is in charge, is essentially, the parole board, which is the Major League Baseball, Hall of Fame and the suspension, when Pete never really showed any true contrition, never really owned up to it. I mean, a tiny little bit after decades of denying that anything wrong.
Fine.
Why would you, grant that person the parole that he has been seeking until he really says, I apologize for what I did. I made a huge mistake. I absolutely will never do it again, and I will work diligently the rest of my life.
He could have gotten in.
To set a better example, to show people what I did wrong, to make sure it doesn't happen again. He did none of that in his entire life. So, of course, no one was inclined to ever really give him that reward that he was so seeking. He just thought, I deserved it. I was a great baseball player.
You
should be giving it to me. And I'm being wrongly, unjustly kept
persecuted.
Out of the Hall of Fame and persecuted. It's not the way to handle it when you're the one who made the mistake. You clearly proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that you bet on your own games in Major League Baseball, the one golden rule that you couldn't do. You're the manager of the team.
Yes, dude.
I mean, Tucapita Marcano gets the lifetime ban. Had almost no impact on any of the games that he ever played. He was on the injured list. It's still the rule. You
it's
can't
like
bet
one,
on your own team.
One rule.
The manager of the team has more influence on the game than anyone, than maybe just a star player. But you can keep your star players out. You can't have even the hint of impropriety in any game in Major League Baseball. It could ruin the whole sport if you had people doing that. And that's why they have to have that rule and enforce it so strongly.
I mean, I'm not mad if they put him in the Hall of Fame. And I'm sure, look, at the end of the day, there's probably way worse people in the Hall of Fame than Pete Rose. But, Pete Rose, I think Pete Rose had plenty of chances to dig out of that hole, and he just never took the shovel, man. He's like, I'm good. I know what I did.
At the very least, though, I think he does deserve our Ben and Woods final tribute.
Adam,
so, Adam,
if
you would.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
Cheers, all.
All right. Rest in peace to Pete Rose. We will take a timeout. We will come back. We have an entire roster still to decide on. Mike Schill did not give us anybody on the roster other than his three starting pitchers and Yu Darvish in the bullpen.
Yep.
So 22 other spots to fill.
Come
Does Fernando Tatis Jr. deserve a place on this team? I say yes.
Come give Ben a hug if you haven't already. We're raising money for charity hugs for Michael King's King of the Hill Foundation. Come get in line. Give Benny a big hug.
One per customer.
One per customer.
We'll be back with more from Baja Rick's Cantina and the Gas Lamp on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, here's my advice for Padres fans. Don't go into this series scared. I know there's always reason to be terrified of the Atlanta Braves, of the Wild Card Series. And I'm not saying, Woods, that the Braves aren't a scary opponent. They have playoff experience. They got good players. Any pitcher on any given day can go out and throw a gem, even a guy you've never heard of. And sometimes Padres fans are even more scared
100%
of the AAA guy than the Cy Young favorite, that ends up starting today, whoever that is. But ultimately, what's going to happen is going to happen. And the Padres have a good team, one that deserves to be here, and one that absolutely can advance and go deep into the playoffs and maybe even win the whole darn thing. So enjoy yourself. And It will come to an end one of these days. Hopefully not until after the parade in about a month, through the streets of downtown. But until then, don't be waiting for the sky to fall and, you know, the boom to be lowered. It's going to happen to 11 of the 12 teams. Enjoy it. Cheer for your team. Hope for the best. Don't be worried about, you know, the worst happening.
Don't you ever tell me how to fan.
I'm going to tell you how to fan.
And I'm going to be screaming, and I'm going to be losing my mind. It's the best part about the playoffs, and certainly the worst part about the playoffs is every single pitch, man, is just live or die. And you play 162, you watch 162, you cover 162, and it all just starts to – I mean, yesterday I was clicking through on the website, and it's just – Padres, 0-0 against the Braves, 0-0. And you start looking at everyone's stats, 0-0, 0 wins, 0 saves, 0 hits, 0 homers. And it all goes out the window. The thing I love the most about the postseason is that you look at all the teams that are left, Ben, and you can make a case for damn near every one of them. Honestly, damn near every team in there, you could say, yeah, I could absolutely see them getting through that first series, see them shocking. You know, after last year, you just truly believe anything's possible. So the Padres in a different spot, a sexy pick, if you will, a team that can make some noise. That obviously makes me a little bit nervous, but I do keep reminding myself the media, the picks, doesn't matter. It has no bearing on the team. If the team goes out and plays like they're capable of playing, yeah, man, they can absolutely do the thing.
It doesn't have a bearing on it, but there's a reason for it. I want to talk about that. We're going to continue on. Let's take a quick check of traffic. More from Baja Rick's Cantina coming up here on 97.3 The Fan. The reason the Padres are a sexy pick for the postseason is that when you go and look at the 12 remaining teams, you can make the argument that the Padres have the least glaring flaws of any of the teams left in baseball.
Yeah,
I mean,
fair.
You know, pick a team, Dodgers. Obviously, great team. They won more games than anyone in baseball this season. But their pitching rotation is in disarray with injuries and, you know, uncertainty going into the postseason. Now, that may not stop them from advancing and beating the Padres or, you know, beating the Braves in the division series. But it's definitely a real, legitimate, glaring concern. Look at the Braves. You know, they've got all kinds of injuries. They just had to play a doubleheader yesterday. They've got glaring areas of concern. And you go, even the Yankees. Yeah, they've got Soto and Judge, but they don't have a deep bottom of the lineup. They had lineup struggles. They went through a long period of the season with a losing record, from like July into August, where they really struggled badly.
Their closer blew a ton of saves. Their bullpen is a little bit out of whack. And you know, same with when you talk about the Dodgers, sure, man. They would absolutely love the guys that they went out and got in the offseason. They would love Tyler Glass now to be pitching game one. It's crazy that they didn't think that this could happen with Tyler Glass now. I don't know how you manage that guy for the next 6 or 7 years, whatever they have him, but him making a bunch of starts in the regular season probably ain't it. It's just probably not it. I'm glad they did, but you look at what they have, Benny, but then you look at their bullpen and you go, all right, I mean, every one of those guys in that bullpen has the ability to huge swing and miss guys. So if they get a 4-2 lead in the fourth, they could literally go to their bullpen every single day and feel pretty good about it. So their offense is prolific. It's terrifying. You got to find a way to get those guys out, and they're very battle-tested. They played in a lot of these games.
So ultimately, you know, what is your biggest concern? If you were trying to point out your flaw for the Padres, what's the one that you would pick if you're trying to poke holes in this team?
You know, I think that
I think most people would say Robert Suarez, you know, coming to the end of the year, which, yeah, I mean, there's some legitimate reason to be a little nervous when Robert Suarez is in the game, you know, ninth inning with a one-run lead. But you also have
– of which closer left in the playoffs do you feel that's locked down 100%?
Clase.
Clase is it. That is it. Will the Guardians score enough runs to get Clase?
Right. Will they have enough starting pitching to get there as well? They have
Clase's it.
They have clear flaws.
It ain't Iglesias. It's not Evan Phillips. And Kopech's really good too. Kopech's good. So Kopech and Klaase are probably.
I mean, he's been really good for them recently. Yeah. I mean, he hasn't been great for as long as a lot of the other guys have been, but he's been really good for them.
But you look around, the Orioles are like, the Yankees are in trouble. The Brewers, pretty good one.
But all those teams have to rely on that guy. Padres don't even have to rely on Robert Suarez.
Correct.
If they did have concerns, they easily could go with someone else like Tanner Scott in the ninth inning, who has plenty of experience doing it.
Or Jason Adam.
Or
Jeremiah Estrada.
Right.
I mean, there's so many guys.
I mean, it is hard to at least poke holes in where you think the Padres are going to fail. Now, baseball...
are they going to hit enough? That's my question.
Well, that's
that's
a question
enough
for every team.
Are they going to hit enough?
Every team goes through, you know, slumps during a course of a season where even your best players... You know, even Luis Arraez went through a slump recently. Jackson Merrill seems pretty slump-proof, but he had his, you know, 1-for-20 stretch here or there. If it happens during the playoffs to too many guys, any team can be eliminated. That's always the biggest concern. But guess what? Juan Soto could have a big slump in the playoffs. Aaron Judge could go homerless in the playoffs. Shohei Ohtani could go over an entire series in the postseason. Nobody is immune to baseball. You know, the hardest thing to do is hit a baseball, and you could hit atom balls right at people. That's why you don't know who's going to win this, even though you can identify who you think might be the best team.
How about defense? I think we're definitely first base, and first base is our definite hole defensively, with Solano and Arraez going to be getting all of the reps, I would imagine, at that position. And then Xander, you know, been a little bit iffy at short as well. Hopefully he's ready to go. Xander, for me, is such a big key to the success of the Padres going forward. He bats, you know, a little bit down in the order. Like, if Xander does what he did his first year in Boston and his last year in Boston, the playoffs, we win the World Series. I mean, he was just like,
he was insane.
900 OPS, double, and be that guy in the middle of the order that they start to fear a little bit, instead of saying, oh, here's a guy that can roll into a double play for me. Man, he draws a walk. And they fear a little bit that's going to split the gaps. And he's got it in him. I mean, he's got it in him. You don't make that much money for not having it in you.
Overall, though, defensively, the Padres are a good defensive team.
Pretty good.
You know, I think lowest outfield's error rate
great
in baseball. They've got a platinum glove winner in right field. Jackson Merrill, I don't know if he'll win a gold glove, but certainly is a way above average center fielder already. Manny Machado is one of the best who's ever played at third base. It's not like the New York Mets. The New York Mets are legitimately a bad defensive team. That is a flaw that could end up costing them. It nearly ended up costing them yesterday in the doubleheader first game when, you know, someone didn't cover first base. You don't see the Padres making a ton of those mental mistakes on defense. Yes, at first base, if Solano is out there, do you think Solano will be there every day, or do you think Arraez will play it all in the field? Now that we've gotten... I get during the regular season, Arraez has got to get out there. He doesn't want to be a DH every day. In the playoffs, you could just sign him up for DHing for every single day of the postseason. No one's going to say a word if you want to put your best defensive players out on the field in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much you lose with Arraez. I mean, Arraez is not great. He's not a great defender. Solano's not really that great of a defender either. But it's. I think it's fine. If you're going to have a position in the infield that's a little bit weaker, first base is fine, as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, man, I want both those bats in the lineup. I don't think Luis – I mean, maybe he will care. I'm sure he – I mean, and I'm sure Solano wants to get off his feet as well. These guys are – he's a little bit older, and if he can sit and hit
– Yeah, I mean, I get it. First base is important. You want guys who can pick those throws. We've seen Solano do that.
Yep.
I think ultimately – I don't remember there's ever a team that says they had the starting pitching, they had the bullpen, they had the power, they hit for average. It's their first base defense just kept them from winning the title. I don't know that that's something that I'm going to be overly concerned about, stay up at night worrying about who's playing defense at first base for the Padres.
No, I mean, but you asked for a flaw.
Yeah.
That's definitely a flaw. But, you know, you manage it, you figure it out.
I think the biggest concern, obviously, is the randomness of baseball. You know, the fact that anything can happen on any given day. You're not an overwhelming – no one's an overwhelming favorite. I don't even know if anyone's even a clear favorite in the postseason.
What are the odds say? Dodgers,
Dodgers
still?
Are still – but, like, plus
– they always
like
are.
400. I mean –
they always are.
It's as wide open of a postseason in what's already a wide open postseason, just the way the format works, and you're not going to get another year in which – get 12 teams that probably all say, hey – things break right for us for 3 weeks, we absolutely could get to or win the World Series.
I have currently got the Los Angeles Dodgers as the favorites, okay. plus 325.
Okay.
Not going to bet that.
Followed by the Phillies, plus 350. The Yankees, plus 425. The Astros and the Padres are tied for plus 800.
Nice.
And then the Guardians, plus 1,000.
Okay. Guardians are plus 1,000?
Plus 1,000.
It's going to be fun.
8 to 1. Pick a number between 1 and 8.
Yeah.
And you get the right one, raise the World Series trophy.
Yeah, could happen.
Yeah, obviously they have, there's more control over that with how the guys play. It's not just drawing a number out of a hat, but in some ways it's more like that this year than it's been any other year.
I'm really excited to watch Fernando Tatis Jr. in a real postseason, you know, one
with
that
fans.
Actually counts with fans and you know in a 162 game season. I'm excited for him. This is really his only opportunity and his first opportunity. I want him to shine because he is that type of player where it's like, I mean, you see it every year. This guy carried us to the World Series, whatever, on his back. And with hopefully Luis Arraez doing his thing, yeah, man, I expect some big innings out of these guys. I hope, you know, obviously I want my guy Manny to dominate and play well and have great ABs. But I can't expect it will change because for 162, these guys have shown me the most heart, the most fight that I've ever seen from them, you know, and the ability to pick somebody up if they boot one or whatever. I would like to see some really great defense. I would like to see good base running, all of that. And really just play Padres baseball the way you played 162.
I think one of the hardest things is to resist the urge to try to do too much.
100%,
knowing
man.
How important the games are. You just can't. If you're Tatis, you have to still play within
yourself. Jackson
and,
Merrill,
you know,
Manny Machado.
Don't try to make the hero play. If you wouldn't have done it, you know, a couple of weeks ago, don't try to do it tonight.
You
know, make the right play, not the hero play.
And I'm interested to see how Shilty manages, you know.
Big question.
It's a huge, huge thing in the playoffs. You get real tight, and you start going, oh, boy, knowing what they're bringing in or whatever. I think with the Braves, you can kind of let it eat. You know, kind of let it fly.
You didn't get the feeling in the light version of the playoffs last week that he was managing very much differently.
Not really.
Got Jesse Agler coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. And if you didn't hear it when we started the show, the reopen is must-listen radio coming up next on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.